You're listening to Tales of the Old Republic, a Gare Bear TVO original broadcast. Broad Cassidy, Hex Helly, Pax Renson, Rickon Wardwell, and Waylon Yutani. Episode 3. Written and directed by Jonathan Krebs.
Having escaped by the skin of your teeth from the Zeta Reticuli moments before its destruction, the five of you, plus a droid, crash down onto a mysterious planet, covered in junk and perpetual rainfall. Scavenging and trying to find a ride off this junk-covered world, you stumbled into a small settlement. There, a group of Sith soldiers, apparently having tracked you, captured you, and are apparently bringing you as prisoners to parts unknown. And that weird Star Wars wipe thing happens. I can't believe they still do that. And so you all stand within five individual force cages, and a resonant clashes with the sounds of incessant mechanical grinding echoing somewhere far beneath your feet. So you have no idea exactly where you're at currently. You've all been imprisoned now within these force cages for what feels like nearly a day. And the cages are built to force you to stand. So you've basically been awake now for who knows how long. The strain of your capture and being forced to stand for so long has given you all five total strain, in addition to any that you had before. So if you could all record that. And except for you, Waylon, you can just go back to max and then go five from there, essentially. After being dumped in here, you've only been visited to be given typical prison food twice under heavy guard. And there's been a bit of a lull, as it's been a few hours since you've really seen or heard from anyone. You have this brief moment to look about and talk, if you so choose. And so the room, I guess I should describe it, it's fairly nondescript, gray plasteel flooring and walls and ceiling as well. And there's just a bit of a, like, the light on one side of the room is flickering, so it's been kind of driving you all a little bit crazy. And it's all just oppressively gray. The room is basically empty, besides the cages and a console standing off to the side. You can see each other and hear each other over the of the electric fields or whatever it is. So you're all there, including those of the party that haven't joined us.
Is there a guard?
There's no guard currently. You're not sure what the Ithorian said, but this is me assuming he sounds nervous or confident. And so just for the audience's sake, we, the Ithorian and the party, we're just assuming that everyone else can speak and understand Ithorian. So if Phil speaks, everyone else gets the general gist of it.
Where's the Ithorian to me?
He's two cages to the left. And directly to your left is your compatriot Pax.
Hey, Ithorian, why'd you shoot the droid and not just shoot the guy?
Well, I just figured that it had the information that we needed to hide, and the best way to hide it was to destroy it.
I don't believe him.
If you want to try and roll an insight, Phil, what's your cool stat slash what's it based off?
It has a yellow die and two green ones. I don't know what the numbers are.
Oh, that's fine. That gives Gary what he needs then.
I succeeded, but I have a lot of despair.
So, based on my understanding of the Ithorian's state of mind when he did that, you do sort of get the general sense that he really did intend to just keep the Sith off track of whatever information the droid had. And, you know, thinking hard on that, you suffer two strain.
So I'm looking at the Ithorian, my arms crossed, shaking my head at I'm not saying anything, but I will say one thing to the Ithorian. I like you.
Waylon?
Yes.
Were you in love with that droid? I'm just wondering. Like, you seem very attached to it.
No, all I'm saying is that droid contained information that could have helped us. Having it destroyed doesn't do anything except hinder our progress. But I kind of maybe think the Ithorian had a point to all this. I value that.
It's at this point that you all hear the sound of boots on metal just pounding beyond the door. And just a moment later, the door opens with a... In steps a Sith officer, male humanoid with a graying goatee, flanked by a hulking, tattoo-covered, bald human man in dark black armor. And on his right, you see a much more diminutive, red-skinned Twi'lek female in black robes. And they all walk in, and then about 5 feet behind them comes four ordinary Sith troopers in the plain ordinary white armor. You see that the armored man's tattoos reach into the folds of his armor and extend onto his tree trunk arms. The Twi'lek and this massive hulking figure both bear lightsabers dangling from their belts. The officer strides towards the console. "These are the prisoners recovered from Junka's Point, my lady," he says towards the Twi'lek. Neither she nor the massive armored figure give any response, but the man walks towards your line of cages. He strides along the line, back and forth, eyeing each of you in turn, before stopping before Hex Hellion. A gruff, gravelly voice coming from the man says, "This is the one found with it." "Yes, my lord. It was found in his bag, hidden in a small box." The figure moves closer towards your cage, Hex, lording over you, and you see his shadow encompassing you, just sort of blocking out most of the rest of the room. The woman casually steps around and just puts a hand out in front of him. "Commander," she says towards the officer, "if you'd be so kind." And the man begins to press some buttons on the panel, and then just a second later, comes from the ground of the cage. The Twi'lek's almost musical voice says, "Now this might go very easily for you, or it might go very painfully. Do not test me, Ithorian. You will die either way, but it doesn't have to be screaming and dribbling as your friends watch. Where is the droid?" she calmly asks you.
Not gonna respond to that.
"Silent. Bold. Certain coordinates were placed into the databanks of a simple astromech droid. Coordinates that told only half the story. Where is the droid?"
"Hey, lady."
She looks towards your cage.
"How about you leave the Ithorian alone?"
"His kind is very peace-like, aren't they?" she says, turning her gaze back towards the Ithorian. "Your master has already given you up. In this very room," she says, gesturing towards the cages. "You will not be silent again, Commander." The energy slowly begins to build, and you start to feel this, like, static building in the air of your cage. Just tell us where the droid is, and you won't have to suffer too long. You see, like, a small hint of rage in the Twi'lek's eyes. "Commander," the man begins to press some buttons, and electric bolts arc from the ground at your feet, shocking you and causing you to scream wildly. You all see this. It goes on for about, I'd say, close to 10 seconds, and so you suffer 2 wounds.
"Hey, lady, I'll tell you where the droid's at."
"Oh?"
"But of course, you know, I'll tell you, but you have to tell me where my brothers are. I know you have them."
"Pray tell, Commander, whose is this?" I don't know, my lady. "And your name is, sir?"
Rickon Wardwell, ex-ambassador.
"Doesn't ring a bell."
"Is she lying?"
Go ahead and roll a perception check. She seems stoic as hell. Like, you can't tell if she's lying one way or the other. Like, she could just be bold-faced lying, or she could just be telling you the truth. You really can't honestly get a sense or a read for it. "I will come to all of you in turn, but
if you would be so kind as to not interrupt me while I deal with my little Athorian friend here. She gestures towards the commander, and he presses the buttons on the panel. Both of your cages shock you for about close to 10 seconds, and you both suffer 2 wounds. Silence. From all but you, she says, turning her eyes back on the Athorian. The pain your master has felt will be tenfold for you, I promise.
Sometimes it's better not to know.
If you're who I think you are, perhaps I'm trying the wrong tact. She strides over towards the bold-faced Rickon. He's already tasted a little bit of our hospitality, but could you really let him suffer in your place, Athorian? The droid, or he dies.
I mean, it's gone.
Commander, they were found with the head of a protocol droid. We know that your master sent you coordinates to find this droid. Commander, Rickon just starts to be violently shocked, and you see that this is, ow, like, much more power than they had put into it before. Hex, you are just watching from just a few cages over as he is just writhing in pure pain.
I'm kind of feeling like I'm feeling a little like literal like shock because I don't know where those coordinates are. I don't actually know what's going on.
Pax is sort of freaking out a little bit, just begging the Twi'lek and the Sith to stop this, and looks towards you and says, "Do something." And you suffer 4 wounds.
We don't know where the hell the coordinates are. We weren't given anything.
Commander, the commander presses the buttons and that much power comes into your cage, Wayland. And so you turn your head and watch as this person that you haven't known for very long but does seem to be on the same side as you, writhing in pure pain. She gestures to stop.
You're going to get nothing from us whether we're alive or not.
Commander.
We don't know where the hell the coordinates are, you...
The electric shocks Wayland to the point that Wayland actually passes out. You see the lights on the walls, actually one of them breaks all of a sudden. You all feel an immense pressure within the room. The Twi'lek strides to stand before your cage, Hex, raising her hand towards you and begins to slowly, slowly lift you off the ground. Would you say that you're mentally prepared for this, Hex, or no?
Yes.
You feel yourself quivering in fear. She slowly lifts you off the ground, inching you towards the electric of the Force cage.
This fool is no Jedi,
she says, dropping you and actually throwing you against the back of the cage. And so you take 4 wounds. There is no more of the Force in him than each of these slimes, she says, gesturing towards the 5 of you. Do with them what you will, Commander. Show us to the so-called Master. I'm feeling especially angry just now. She just turns, does that like super dramatic thing where the robes fold around her and everyone follows her out. And the door slams shut, just leaving you all in there in varying states of pain or unconscious. A bit of time passes and you're like left to lick your respective wounds. A few hours pass and, you know, you're feeling the burns and you gradually come to, and 6 troopers come in, blasters drawn, led by an unfamiliar officer that you haven't seen before.
Bring them,
he says. Doesn't even really bother giving you a look. And 3 of the troopers enter the room, and the other 4 individuals just stand by the door. One of the troopers moves towards the panel and starts to press some buttons, and then all of the Force cages... There's no power on them anymore. The other troopers just have their blasters drawn on you.
This way.
So you're all wearing your original clothes, but your stuff was taken. And so you're led into the bowels of a base, and you gradually realize that you are possibly very far underground as a turbo lift takes you down thousands of feet, and all of that mechanical grinding sound that you heard from very far off before begins to get louder and louder. The doors open, leading you into sort of grand mess hall type thing. You're on a walkway above the mess hall, I should clarify. And down on the ground below, you see hundreds of tables with orange-clad jumpsuit where individuals, you can reasonably surmise that this is some form of prison or prison camp. And so you're led into a detoxifying room and all stripped down and have that crazy burst of cleaning happen to you. And over the next few weeks, you're made to mine in the mines beneath what you gradually, from snippets of conversation, learn is called Whisper Base. Your days consist mainly of spending time in very small cells that you share with one roommate. So actually, Rickon, you're sharing a roommate, sharing a cell with Wayland. Hex, you're sharing a roommate with Braun, who is played by Pavi. And Pax is sharing a roommate with a somewhat skeevy-looking Trandoshan, who you're not sure of his name. You're not really sure entirely of the passage of time because you're so far below ground. The rest of your day consists of your two square meals, your breakfast and your dinner, and your work in the mines, where you are submitted to torturous working conditions under the oversight of Sith troopers, Sith officers. You have finished a long, grueling shift in the mines and are now sitting in this immense mess hall. You're all sort of sitting at a very large table, clustered around each other because you're the only people that you know, basically. I mean, like, you've casually met other people, but, I mean, it's prison. And from which the little that you've gleaned of the power structures here, there's a somewhat large exchange presence within the prison, that being the predominant criminal organization of the time. You've gathered that there are two rival leaders of the exchange, Cendrix Vall and a female Togruta named Ashok. From what you can gather, they hate each other with a ferocious enmity. And so you're armed with that knowledge because you would have just gathered that from being here for a few weeks and stuff. So you're all sitting at this table enjoying your daily allotment of gruel. So you're now prisoners. What do you do?
Who's around me?
So your four compatriots that you know, and you guys chose to sit at one of the like corner tables because you're not friendly with the exchange, and there's some other rough customers here, so you just choose to sit by yourselves. But there are some people sitting around the other end of your table because it's very large. There's two Trandoshans sitting with a Rodian, and that's it for your table. But there are two other tables directly close to yours, and they're basically full up of humans, Rodians. There's a Wookiee at each table. More Trandoshans. There's some Quarren. Interestingly enough, there's a Toydarian. So yeah, there's just like a large smattering of tables currently. But I was just going to give you guys another moment, or you could even do whatever you want, to talk and sort of sift through your current status.
We have a gauge on how strong either of the factions are in the prison.
So Ashok's group is, I wouldn't say far stronger, but they're not stronger. They're just the more violent of the two. The two groups are on roughly equal footing. Ashok's group seems to be sort of trending.
How many guards are in the mess hall right now?
So there's no guards directly in the mess hall with you. They're all on the enormous walkway that I described. There's easily about every 20, 25 feet, you see at least two troopers armed with sniper rifles. So there's 30, 40 troopers with sniper rifles in this.
I'm just going to keep eating.
Have I seen my brothers around here?
No.
No. I'm going to go up to the mean group. How long have we been here in general? Like days, weeks?
Weeks. You know, passage of time in prison is fluid based on your own internal clock. So it's been a few weeks since you've been here.
So what's our current status? Do people know about us? Is there any chatter about that we'd ever pick up on?
There's been a little bit of chatter, but because you all seem to have grouped together, people aren't sure if you're going to declare your allegiance for one of the two primary factions together or if you're trying to start your own faction. So that's why people are keeping their distance a little bit. From what you've heard in, you know, the showers and different things, you're looked at with curiosity. It's a hard life, obviously. You're just toiling away until you die in the mines. You get the sense that if you don't declare your allegiance one way or the other, you might last a little bit longer. That's not to say that it will be a permanent status.
That's the thing about a prison mine, is like everyone's always looking for a prime opportunity to ride.
I'm actually going to go up to the non-violent, well, the less violent group, because they probably are more intelligent, maybe.
I'm going to take my tray over to the violent folks.
I love this. I love that there's independent plans from one another. So you finish a few bites of your gruel, but it doesn't seem to be, it's not doing it today. So you go and you shovel it into the thing and you sort of stride over the immense mess hall. And, you know, you're peeking back around just to make sure that your compatriots are keeping an eye on you. And I don't know if they are. As you get closer, an immense hulking Twi'lek stands up and sort of steps to you, raises a hand and says,
"No further."
In some guttural basic.
"What you want?"
And you see that actually one of his leku has been cut off, interestingly.
"Listen, what I want is what everyone in this prison wants. You want out, I want out, they want out," and I point to my group. "Even they want out," and I point to the other faction. "Can I talk to whoever the leader is of your group? Just want to have a little chat."
"You want to talk to Cendrix?"
"Yes, I do, sir."
Go ahead and roll me a negotiation against two purple. You immediately feel a little stressed because this is a very burly individual, and you see the eyes of some other people at the tables around you looking on you, and you suffer one strain. He gives you a very toothy smile, and you see that he is missing quite a few teeth.
"You want to talk to Cendrix? It's your funeral, human."
And just leads you off towards the furthest back table. And you've seen the leaders of these two respective groups around. And so you've seen this very tan, goateed man with an eye patch over one eye and like dark, dark black hair. Human, and wearing the same typical jumpsuit as you guys. And he has an air of charisma about him that almost feels out of place in a prison of this sort. And he's surrounded by men and women equally as burly and intimidating as the Twi'lek that is escorting you towards them. He puts his hand on someone's shoulder. "This human wants to die." The human that's sitting just directly across from Cendrix Vall looks to the Twi'lek and then looks to you. "Sounds good to me." Stands up and just goes and he's doing something else. You don't pay too close attention to it.
"Sit."
Cendrix looks towards you. "And you are?"
"My name is Rickon Wardwell. Nice to meet you," and I extend a hand out.
He just sort of waves you off.
"I see you a little less numbers than the other guys over there. And I know that I have about 5 of us that could probably lend a hand to you." "Now, listen, and if we help each other, I am an ex-ambassador, which mother's a senator."
"You are proposing that your merry little band joins my humble company over here and we what? We go fight Ashok and her supporters, her group, and your merry little band is enough to what? Not just kill Ashok. Just walk me through your plan here, Mr. What was your name again?"
"Just call me Rickon. So listen, now no one has to fight each other. I say we all help each other. If you help me, I could give you a vast amount of riches because, well, mother's a senator. It's nice. It's nice. You know, you get some money. We all get free. Just live a happy life. Who knows?" And I'm going to like say to him, "I heard the Athorian, he's a Jedi."
You get the sense that he was actually about to tell that Twi'lek to just twist your head off your shoulders.
"When we got captured, apparently the Sith lady was really into him. And she thinks, like, you know, he has a master. Just saying."
So you get the sense that he was actually just about to tell the Twi'lek to twist your head off your shoulders. Raises a finger. Interesting. And so why is he here in the general population with us then? That seems like a little hole in your story.
Like I said, he's strong-willed. He's probably hiding that force pretty well.
Go ahead and roll a negotiation against two reds and add a black to it because you are very
light
stressed.
Side.
Okay. A purple die, a red die, and a black die. You see a glint of something in his eye. I'm sure you've noticed. I'm a friendly sort. I'm not here to make enemies. It would be a little bit easier to get out of here if a shock came over to our way of thinking. So, you run off and sing your little song. My good friend Dares here won't rip your head off. We'll see what a shock has to say, and then we can go from there.
Deal. Send my hand again this time.
He just waves you off again.
I'm just gonna leave, and as I'm leaving, I'm just gonna vomit my mouth a little bit.
You sit back down at the table, and we're gonna cut over to Wayland. And you see, interestingly enough, this Togruta female, they set their table up against the wall, so she is just basically reclining against the back wall. There's like a bunch of empty space directly around her, but then there's, you know, the burly group just the same basically as the other. But before you even get close, a very hyperactive Rodian accosts you.
So I'm like surprised by the gall of this Rodian, so I'm gonna give him the crazy eyes back and say, I'm going to rip that snout off your face and jam it so far up your...
Okay, so go ahead and roll a...
Can I deceive him?
I mean, is that what you were doing? I thought that came off real to me.
Well, I don't want to be violent, so...
Okay, so yeah, deception. You see him actually quiver a little bit, and he just shrinks back down and runs back, and you actually see him run under the table that a shock is currently sitting on, which you are now only about, I'd say, like 20, 25 feet from. People are looking at you with not, there's no fear in their eyes. They're very intrigued by what just happened because a lot of that was heard. Basically, have the free 20, 25 feet to stride up as close as you want.
Who do I speak to find out later around this part?
Wayland, you see as the Togruta flashes a very toothy smile, and you see two almost synthetic sharpened teeth. That would be me.
I don't know if I could maybe see with you guys for a minute. Chat about a friend of ours. Can you think it's like this guy's gonna be your bodyguard? I don't think you guys are gonna last long around here.
Oh, Skeeve, she says, looking down towards the table. Oh, he's good for some things and bad for others. People die here every day. You might die today.
Yep, by whose hand?
Could be mine. Could be Skeeve's. Could be that fifth officer standing right there. Or his very burly friend. You look back, and you all are sort of watching this go on. Besides you, probably, Rickon, because your conversation would have happened theoretically at the same time. The very muscular tree trunk arm Dark Jedi Sith is walking along the walkway, having just exited the turbo lift, and is just calmly walking, following close behind the commanding officer of the base that you've seen before, just walking around towards the door in the back that you know leads towards the deep inner workings of whatever the purpose of this base is. And he stops. None of you hear that, but you see it. Doors open with a... They leave. He might kill you today. He might kill all of us. Maybe not me, but the rest of you.
Assuming you're not quite scared of that.
Not scared of much.
So you definitely won't be scared if I sat down then.
Do as you please. Skeeve, you hear him skitter below the table and stuff. You're not sure in which direction. You're a funny guy.
I'm not here to be funny. Looking for a way out of here. I'm sure you definitely have been looking for that as well.
I've been here 2 years.
Not long enough.
If there was a way out, I would have found it by now.
Yeah, who's your chief strategist, Skeef? We're going to make an offer to you. I know I just got here, but I think I can maybe offer a little bit to you. I'm going to point towards the Athorian in our group. See that guy over there? There was only one man that I could find that was able to match my skill set. It was that guy. Between him and I, this man here, we have about body count of over 17. I ain't going to tell you what I've been killing, but I've been killing. The Athorian over there, he's killed a lot of people, and he's locked up here. So while you've been sitting here for 2 years with Skeevy Boy, I think what you need right now is a nice Athorian to kind of help us. So we're here to do one thing and one thing only. I'm tired of breaking rocks. You're tired of breaking rocks. You've been doing it for 2 years. I've only been here for maybe a few weeks. I want to help you out. So I'm telling you right now, the skill set that I can bring to this group, I think we can replace your Skeeve.
Go ahead and roll your deception. It's going to be against two purple and a red. So just you and the Athorian then. What about your other friends?
Well, I think he's trying to find, wrangle up some more people to help us get out of here, but
I think I saw him walking over towards my old friend, Syndrix.
Old friend, huh? What's your history with him?
We came here together. He botched a job. Didn't hate him for that.
I like how we use...
Everyone makes mistakes sometimes, and
we've been here for 2 years. You don't hate him for it. What's stopping you from, you know, reconnecting? I assume you both want to get out of here. I don't think you want to be cracking rocks forever. You don't hate him for it.
I hate him for something far worse.
But is it worth stopping you from saving the others from getting that sentence here?
I think you're proposing. She looks towards the guard standing on the walkways. I think you're proposing a riot of sorts, so...
I didn't say that. You want to get out of here. Bury the hatchet and do one last job.
Okay, so go ahead and roll a negotiation. It's going to be against two purple, a red, and a black. You suffer one strain from the stress of being in the situation. I don't think that we can work with him, but I'm willing to entertain new ideas about how to get out of here. Because that might give me an opportunity to kill him. We can still do this. We don't need them.
I know what you're proposing here, but I'm not willing to let everybody stay here. No one deserves to die here.
What are they to you? We can do this. We don't need Syndrix or his ilk.
It's a riot. Not everyone may survive. If I have to die to get my friends out of here, I'm okay with that.
If that's what you are proposing, then...
I just want you to know that there's an idea that you can bring to the group. What I'm telling you right now is that my group and that Athorian, dangerous combination. And if you want to get out of here, if you want to get your group out of here, you're going to have to bury the hatchet. But the more numbers we have, the more we can get out of here. They die, they die. If I die, I die.
You're ballsy. You think on what I've said, human.
So I'm going to walk away towards the group. I'm going to sit beside the Athorian and say, I'm not saying that I maybe have told a gang we've killed 17 people combined, but I'm telling you right now is that I think you're the most dangerous man in the room right now. I'm going to look at Rick and say, what the hell did you tell them?
I told him he was a Jedi. I hope you are, but it got me away from getting my head torn off.
I mean, I wasn't at risk of being murdered, unlike you.
So, another thing. He said he might be okay with joining forces with the other group. I just have to talk to them. So what did you say to them?
Well, I actually just kind of spoke to the leader. She said she knew a guy named Syndrix.
Oh, it's a guy I talked to.
Well, apparently, this is what I heard. No, I'm gonna kind of whisper so it's not within like a loud talking radius, but between the three of us. I heard that Syndrix and the Kruta, they worked together on a job and they botched it. So I'm thinking that's how they got here. But she doesn't hate him for it, but she does want him dead. So I don't know what kind of... I don't know if you're collecting death sticks for that gang now, but I would, if you're attached to them, I wouldn't start. I think I have an idea.
How about you introduce me to your lady friend?
We can make this work without... We have an ambassador on either side. We don't need to mix between the two. It doesn't seem like that's pertinent.
I think if we use these two together to start a riot, then I think we can just let destiny work its way out.
But he already thinks I'm going to talk to her about joining forces. If she's in with it, then he's in with it.
I'm going to put up some air quotes. She's into it as long as Cendrix dies.
And then he starts to riot. Both sides start to riot. And while both sides are rioting, then we get to, you know, wherever the shuttle is.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Okay, so how do you want to do this, though?
Well, I don't want you talking. You've already convinced everybody that your little posse over there. Like,
this is
okay, well, you convince the other posse that we're killers. We're not killers.
We look pretty stone cold.
Ron over here is the only killer.
Wait, I just pick up my tray and just...
What is more convincing? That this a Thorin is a Jedi or that we've killed people?
Well, one side knows that he's a Jedi. The other side knows that he kills people.
Yeah, what if they ask the Thorin to lift a damn tray with his mind?
Well, how we better start this riot real quick then.
I would rather see the Thorin snap some guy's neck than see him try to lifting a tray with his mind.
Hex, are you or are you not a Jedi?
You shut the hell up!
I hope you die in this riot.
Man with a mechanical leg walks by, and it pops into one of your minds that, oh, I'm going to get that leg.
I don't know if he's a Jedi or not. Let him speak first. Let him talk and explain himself before we continue this.
Just reminding everybody that it doesn't really matter if I'm a Jedi or not. That's like the prime thing that they would want to hear anything said to them. So that's got to be exactly the right spot as far as like negotiations are concerned.
But if they find out that you're not a Jedi...
Hex, no. You're dodging the question again. Are you or are you not? So I can at least know for my well-being that you are.
All right, so the Hexhellion that you've come to know and love so well, so dearly, you've known so well. I am not Hexhellion. Instead, I am Perp Nuttel.
Who?